thing I forgot to mention this morning, and that is the lovely flowers that are on the altar. They are in honor of Neil and Jane Pick's what would be the 70th anniversary. Neil is, I'm sure, watching Jane from heaven this morning. There's no sermon this morning. But there are reflections, okay? So the word reflect, I love that word. It's an awesome verb because it takes us from where we were to where we are now. We look back. Our experiences make us who we are. Some of us have many, many, many experiences because of our age, and some of us are just starting on this journey. So here we are. Have you ever experienced a time when you felt totally overwhelmed and somehow it all turned totally around and what you thought was a frustration and a frustrating time was actually a blessing, a glimmer of hope, that incredible feeling that our God who loves us was there to help us through our trials? That's what he does, you know. He helps us through our trials. As Paul tells us in Ephesians 3, 16 and 17, that John had read earlier, God's glorious riches that I had read earlier, God's glorious riches strengthen us through power in this Holy Spirit, in our inner being and in our souls, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Paul prays that we, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to understand just how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ really is. My husband Jim and I listen to Rick Warren's Daily Hope each morning. We spend precious time over breakfast talking and listening to Pastor Rick. And one morning, Pastor Rick said, "You can't make Jesus stop loving you. You can try, but you're going to fail because his love is based on who he is, not on who you are. You cannot make Jesus stop loving you. Christ's love is evident everywhere, and I mean everywhere, and in all things. Sometimes we just need to be aware a little bit more of his constant love and presence. Take, for example, my coffee mug. Do we have a picture of my mug? I brought my mug in person because I thought you might want to see. This is one of my best friends right now, and I know you're probably thinking, oh my gosh, she's gone off the deep end. But this is my favorite coffee mug of all times because it fits my hands. It's got a G on it for Goss. It fits my hands, and you can really get a good mug of coffee. Not just a mug of coffee, that's a mug. All right? Favorite mug. Yep. Now I have lots of mugs. I have a lot of coffee mugs. You're not a teacher for 33 years and not have a lot of coffee mugs, because you get them almost every Christmas. And I love every one of them. And I've never gotten rid of them. They might be in a box in the basement, but I have kept every single one of them because I know somewhere along the way, they either liked me and gave me the mug, they felt obligated to give me the mug, or their mom or dad bought it for them to give me the mug. Nevertheless, it made it to school and they gave it to me. I cannot get rid of them. When Not Me broke my mug, I'm sure it was by mistake, I was very hesitant to get rid of it. Because if you take a look closely, you see there's a chip in it, but the chip is not where you're going to put your mouth. So I'm thinking, it's okay, it's still usable, I can make it work. During one of my early times in the morning, my Savior and I were sitting in the sunroom. I had my coffee. I was talking away, and he was listening. And suddenly, who knows why, the name Chip came into my head. You remember Chip from the Disney movie? Okay, Chip. Do we have Chip? There he is. Chip's favorite song is in Beauty and the Beast was Be My Guest. Do you remember him now? Okay, now Chip is named Chip because he has a chip out of him. So obviously, my mug's name is Chip. You should have seen the look on Jim's face one morning when I said, Chip and I were having coffee in the sunroom. He goes, who's Chip? I said, oh, Chip's my mug. And he goes, are you sure? I'm like, positive. He's the little cup, all right? And Chip reminds me that we are all broken. Chip is broken. This chip is broken. But we're all broken because we have sinned. We have done something wrong somewhere along the way. Surely we have. We might not want to admit it, but we have. And some of the things are deeper, deeper hurts. You need to let those go. Ask God to forgive you for them and let them go. Now, the fact that I thought of Chip, to me, was a God moment. Because this chip, my chip, is deeply loved. They're broken and they're deeply loved. Just like me, just like you. We're broken, but our Lord and Savior loves us. The keeper of the stars, the one who watches over the stars, and, you know, this whole universe. And he loves us. He loves each one of us. That is incredible love. He loves us no matter what. Okay, let me ask you this one. When company comes to your house, what do they see? Oh, I'm not talking the clutter. I'm not talking about the clutter. I mean, what are the things that are most important to you? Is your Bible out in the open or is it hidden in a cupboard somewhere? Do you have pictures on the wall? Do you have any scripture? Do you have a cross? My granddaughter, Hutton is her name. We call her Huddy. Recently came to visit with us while her mom was at work. I got to spend time with her a few days this past week. And we're sitting out in our sunroom watching the birds and talking, and she was on her iPad. I was reading my devotionals, some of which are here. And we just kind of shared what we were doing. She says to me, Grammy, do you read this every day? And I'm like, yeah, I try to. And she's, but you know, kids are pretty perceptive. They listen to what you say and they see what you do, which was amazing to me, because later in the afternoon, three adventurers, the three amigos, leave the house, Jim and Huddy and me. And of course we had to stop at Brewster's, but then we went to Hobby Lobby. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with Hobby Lobby. What I can tell you is plan to spend a little time. And the background music, I could have stayed there for hours because the background music is all Christian music. It's all Christian music. They don't have the words necessarily, but they have the music. And it's a wonderful experience. Now, as we were walking through the store, Huddy sees this coffee mug. And she says, Pappy, we have to get this for Graham. And he says, do you know how many coffee mugs we have in the cupboard? We don't need another coffee mug. And my little granddaughter says, but this is who Grammy is. Now, I'm not sure if you can read it. It says, all I need is a little bit of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus. And I was like, whew, she saw that? She saw that. Jim and I both love nature. We've always loved to be out hiking. And when we started seeing each other about 19 years ago, got married 18 years ago, we would hike for hours we would go through the woods, and he had hiked the Loyal Sauk Trail at one time, and we would go biking, go up on the Pine Creek Rail Trail and watch the deer coming down the hill and jumping into the Pine Creek and swimming across. I actually saw that. It was amazing. And as we would be talking, we were also watching the wildlife in our backyard. Now, I have to tell you, our backyard has birds, lots of birds. Of course, we feed them. And it has chipmunks. Of course, they eat the bird seed. And squirrels. But our squirrels are special. They are acrobats. I know they are acrobats. I've seen them on the bird feeder and how they can eat hanging upside down by their back toes is amazing to me. Deer. We have deer. Right now we have a doe with two fawn that come every day. An occasional bear. But you know what all of this did? It invoked in us our love of church camp. Back in our childhood, both of us had gone to church camp. And all of this wonderful nature just brought back such good memories. Camp was awesome. I remember sitting on the mess hall steps listening to This Is My Father's World. I was probably about 10, maybe 9. And it was at that moment, I'd always gone to Sunday school. From the time I was just probably a baby, Mom and Dad would go to Sunday school and I would go in the nursery. But it was at that moment, sitting there singing, This Is My Father's World, that I could actually feel God's presence in me. It was one of those aha moments for me. That closeness and knowing that God is in the heavens and he's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. If you like to hike, I'm going to throw this in as a little bird walk. If you know Beth Jones, anybody know Beth Jones? You know who Beth Jones is? Okay. Beth Jones, the last Saturday of every month, takes a group. They meet at Ryder Park, which is out near Warrensville. I'll tell you where it is if you want to know. And they gather together and they take this nice, gentle walk through the woods, end up at Doe Pen Lookout, and have a little worship service. Oh, sounds like heaven, doesn't it? It's amazing. It is amazing. It's not a long walk. Don't be afraid. It's not a long walk. I had seen Beth at one of the coffee shops in Montoursville one morning. We had a nice little chat. Sometimes things happen that you don't expect, and they're not real good things that happen. And somehow God turns these things around. Have you ever had your smoke alarm go off at 3 o'clock in the morning? That's when mine decides to go off. I know that's it's specially timed, 3 o'clock in the morning. Last Tuesday, my smoke alarm goes off in the morning. So I'm like, I'm not getting the ladder out now. I'll just wait till 6:30. So I close the bedroom door, and actually, 6:30 when I woke up, it was still beeping. Get the ladder out, start changing the battery, and what I noticed written on the smoke alarm is this: alarm will not operate without power. And it's kind of a no kidding moment. It's not going to operate without power. Can we? We humans. There are uncertain times that we have that we feel like we can't do anything more. We feel like we're running out of power. And then we believers rely on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us that power to get through these tough times. We just went through a rough couple years, didn't we? Last year especially. I cannot imagine how unbelievers made it through that year, not knowing or not wanting to know about God's love and grace for all of us. How could they handle that day after day? Ephesians 3:19 says, "Know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, and you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Did you ever hear of Corrie Ten Boom? Corrie Ten Boom, yes, okay. What a woman. What a woman Corrie was. She has written the book, The Hiding Place. It's a nonfiction book, and it's based on her life. She was a Christian woman growing up in Europe during World War II. And many of the Jews were being gathered up in the middle of the night. They would come knock on your door, say, "Let's go." And you would leave then, if you were Jewish, and leave everything behind, everything, all of your valuables, because you had no need of them in the concentration camp or in the gas chambers, wherever it was that they were taking you. So Corrie's father and her mom and her siblings, her sister Betsy, they would hide all of these Jewish people in a hole in the wall. Right outside their front door, they cut a hole in the wall, and because it was like an apartment house. And they could hide several adults there and many, many children. They saved at least 100 little Jewish children from the gas chambers. The space was very small, and you could not tell it was there when it was closed. When they got caught doing this, they, of course, were hauled off to the work camps. Now, I'm looking around the room, and I just have to tell you that these poor women, in order to get into the concentration camp where they, in their barracks, where they needed to stay, they had to be totally degraded of, and no clothes, no shoes, nothing. How did they smuggle in that Bible? How did they smuggle in to the barracks the Holy Bible? It's one of those things that they did every day as a family. They would sit and read the Bible. And how they smuggled that in is beyond words. They never missed a chance to share their faith with the other women in their barracks. And they even were very, very thankful for fleas. Thankful for fleas. Who would be thankful for fleas and lice? Well, they were. Because since they had so many fleas and lice running around in their barracks, the female and the male guards would not go in because they were afraid of getting fleas. So they could worship God, and they shared the love of God with all of the women there. It was years later, the war was over, life started to improve, and Corrie traveled about giving speeches about her experiences and especially about her faith. Following one of her speeches, a crudely dressed man came up to her and outstretched his hand. He proceeded to tell her that he had converted to Christianity. And as she peered up into his face, she became very fearful, for this was the cruelest, meanest prison guard that she had met at Ravensbrück. He asked her for forgiveness. With hesitation, she remembered that our Lord and Savior forgives the unforgivable, for he knows our hearts and minds. And she forgave him. A sign that soothes our souls still today is a rainbow. If it's raining and the sun's out, how many of you go outside to see the rainbow? Anybody? Few of you, great. It's neat to see that in person. A double rainbow has appeared for several years over the Flight 800 Memorial in Montoursville. On July 17th, this past July 17th, it was the 25th anniversary of the explosion of that flight. 16 of Jim and my former students and their 5 chaperones were killed in that explosion. My son's best friends, his girlfriend, the daughter of one of my friends from church. It was such a heartbreak, and it still is. There were so many dreams lost. God helps us through these tough times because He loves us. He loves us with an unconditional, unending love. Rick Warren put it this way: life had kicked the hope out of me. And at that time in my life, it truly did, for a while. Because I was now an empty nester. I was an empty nest. My kids had left and gone to school and got married during that same period of time. I also, during that time period, found that my husband wasn't willing to be a husband anymore. My ex-husband wasn't willing to be a husband anymore. It was a very devastating time in my life. And yet, when Flight 800 happened, it got even worse. It's like, how can it get worse? Christ's love is always there for us. It's unconditional. As we went to many of these funerals, we would see these students, former students, because they were now high school kids. And we would, you know, see them, and they would see us, and they were amazed that they were that important to us, that we would go there. Why wouldn't you? Years later, I attended that church where many of the funerals were, and I saw students there who were there for the funeral. It's 20 years later, and they finally found God. Many of those students, as Jim and I discussed them, he was the guidance counselor there at McCall, so he knew them. And he's like, this is awesome. These kids are here in church. You have a horrible thing like Flight 800 exploding, and yet there were so many new believers after that. A rainbow. Jesus was willing to go to crucifixion for us. He was willing to go through all of that pain and suffering. Could he have saved us himself? Could he have saved himself? How many think yes? Mm-hmm. He could have, but he chose not to. Why? Because he loves us, and he desires that we spend eternity with him. Do you spend time with Christ every day? Have you built a relationship with him? Let us pray. We ask, Lord, that your mighty power would work in us. We know that you will achieve infinitely more than our greatest request, our most unbelievable dream, and exceed our wildest imagination. We have faith that you will undo them all, for your miraculous power constantly energizes us. Now we offer up to you all the glorious praise that rises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ, and all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. And all God's people said, amen.